Welcome to the Executive Function Podcast, where we make the invisible keys to success easy for you to teach your child. We'll go beyond theory to proven action, helping you create peace and independence at home and at school with your host, educational author, award-winning teacher, and celebrated learning coach, Sarah Kesty.
Hey everyone. Hi. I feel like I'm coming back home to my podcast family. It has been a while and I am truly grateful that you are listening even after a little bit of a break. Hey, it sure was unexpected. We had to move houses unexpectedly and then I had to have a surgery. So as they say, when it rains, it pours, and it certainly was not an easy time, but we are back and I'm so excited. I have some really awesome interviews coming up and some really cool stuff to help you with. So thank you for sticking with us, even when you have some wonky stuff. I really, really appreciate everybody who listens. And we are doing a little bit of an upgrade around here. So I'm re-recording a couple of the beginning shows that have some links that didn't migrate well when I made my new website, or some updated things that I can actually make better with the strategies, or even, let's be honest, some of the initial audio was a little bit goofy. So we're cleaning all that up. I'm really glad to have a good podcast team, and I'm just so thrilled that you are here. So if you are new to the show, hi, I'm Sarah Kesty. I'm an executive function expert. I love what I do, and I love the people that I help. And we're going to talk about time management today because, hello, it's a big concern. And if you are someone who picked this show because of the topic, probably it's hard for you. And, you know, February is technically National Time Management Month, which is odd, but we'll lean into it, right? Because maybe there are some good strategies to learn and to hear about. So before we get into it, though, y'all, we got to be real about time management, because the soup that we're swimming in our society, Western society, often moralizes time management. So what I mean by that is time management is just technically a set of skills. It's executive functions. It's things that we do mentally and sometimes physical actions that follow, but it's only a skill set. Just like writing in cursive would be a skill set, or riding your bike or driving. It's all skill set. But there's a piece in our culture where we're very judgmental of time management, meaning there's a lot of association with character and morality around those skills. So you might hear, well, you're very inconsiderate, or you're rude if you're late. Or you might assume, well, it's bad if your time management is scattered and maybe things don't get completed on time. Oftentimes we'll also hear like, hey, it's actually morally superior to get up at certain hours or go to bed at certain hours, right? Like, I think there's even clubs out there to talk about like, hey, this makes you a better person if you get up at a certain time. We also have idioms in our culture like time is money, time flies when you're having fun. And none of this is necessarily bad. It's just the circumstance we're in. But it sure does make it tricky to be vulnerable and really reflect on our time management if there's also this protection piece that has to come into play when you're like, oh, well, I can't really admit how bad I feel. I feel so shameful about being late all the time. So maybe I just won't deal with it because there's like this heavy emotional burden that comes with what's technically just a neutral set of skills. So as you're kind of going through this episode, or as you're thinking about your own time management, I'd really encourage you to start questioning when that voice pops up in your brain that says, oh, but you're so bad. They're going to be so mad at you. You're an awful employee. You're going to get fired. And it's not to say that, hey, like there are no consequences. Definitely. We have deadlines. We have times we need to check in at work, or I meant to say clock in, you know what I mean? But it does not make you a bad person. It makes you a person with a human brain that hasn't either developed the skills yet or found the strategies to sort of augment where maybe our brains have some more challenges. So start listening to yourself about like how you're judging yourself, because that really is a roadblock to progress. If it's too scary or shameful to think about, then how the heck are we ever going to make it better, right? All right, we're thinking about time management, and I'm ready to switch it up already, because I'd like to offer that time management is actually technically attention management. And what that means is we can't really manage time. It happens regardless of what we do. Time is a social construct technically, and it's measured by seconds and minutes and hours, and they happen. They're going by. They're going by right now. You can't make time slow down. You can't make it go faster. You can't bank it up for later. You really can't manage time. What you can manage is your attention. And where you put your attention flashlight is where the actions happen. And that's really cool news because, okay, if we can kind of zoom out one level and think about, oh, time management is attention management, then that lends itself to a whole bunch of cool skills and strategies that maybe we've already played with. So today, I wanted to offer you a couple of ideas in the way that I teach time / attention management, just as some offerings for you to take into your life laboratory and see how they go. Okay. Very first, I like to teach time management sometimes as sort of a sports game. I'm outing myself as not a sports person, but I like to think of it as like pregame, game time, sort of the wrap up and then the follow up in terms of how we think about getting ready for managing time, in air quotes. So we're going to talk about the pregame stuff today. We're going to talk about the things we can do to set ourselves up so that our use of attention during a certain time span, our time management, actually is much more efficient and effective and feels good and brain friendly. All right, so if we're doing a pregame, if we're planning for how we're going to spend our attention, which is technically what turns into how we spend our time, there are a couple things that we can really do. And the very first thing is to plan for our attention. And that doesn't mean like, okay, I'm gonna psych myself up and tell myself to focus. If that worked, that would be amazing and I'd be so super thankful for it. And also you probably wouldn't be listening right now, right? So this isn't necessarily a lack of motivation or clarity on what you have to do. This is because we haven't found the right tools yet. So when I say plan for attention, what I mean is really plan to protect that precious resource of your attention flashlight. So if we think of it like an attention flashlight, wherever you put your attention is where your actions are going to happen. It's what's illuminated by your focus. And if we think about like a flashlight needs a battery, planning for attention means that you're regulating, you're eating enough, you're maybe having a snack or chewing some gum to sort of upregulate if you need some energy. Or if you're coming in hot and you're kind of dysregulated, like high emotions, you're taking a breath, figuring out how to get yourself downregulated, whatever you need to do to sort of get in the zone before you ask yourself to work. Planning for attention also means that you just do a gut check on realistically what's going to steal your brain. So if I'm a student going into a test and I know that like other people clicking their pencils is going to distract me, I'm going to possibly ask for a different seat. Or maybe use some noise-canceling headphones. I'm going to plan to protect my attention and really figure out what steals my brain in the moment and how can I make that not happen. Spoiler alert, most of the time that means turning off our devices and possibly putting them in another room, maybe using a Chrome extension like One Tab so that all of your tabs are condensed into one spot and then you only have one open so it's not so tempting, things like that. You can even tell your loved ones, yo, I'm going to get in the zone. I need half an hour. I'm going to close the door. That means unless someone's bleeding or on fire, please don't interrupt me. And even then, step one, help yourself before you interrupt me. Just kidding. Okay, so in our pregame, we're very first planning for attention. We're making sure that our bodies are taken care of, our brains have at least a good shot of getting in the zone. Remember, this is not a character flaw if you just can't make it happen one day. It just means that you weren't psychic and couldn't predict what your brain needed right then. We're planning for attention stealers and making sure that they're less likely to happen. Next thing is to estimate roughly about how much time the thing will take. And again, this isn't natural for some brains, so it's okay if this is kind of wonky for you and it takes a couple swipes at like, whoa, I really overestimated that. Totally fine. But the idea is to get at least a hunch on sort of the patterns of your time. Like emailing somebody takes me 5 minutes versus writing an article takes me 3 hours. Whatever it is, you're just sort of playing with and adjusting your data so that then you have a game plan moving into it. See, the sports analogy does work even from a not sporty person. The next component is to write out the steps. And this can often feel a little bit redundant because you're like, oh my gosh, all this lead up, like I actually need to do the thing. But research shows that oftentimes we're procrastinating because our brains are overwhelmed or unclear about what we need to do. So writing out the steps, even if it's the tiniest bits, like gather my materials, set my phone on silent, all of those things shows your brain that, oh, this big long thing that I was dreading is actually just a series of small things, and I can do that. A next component of pregame, so we're planning for our attention, we're estimating the time, we're writing out the steps. Next is to plan for accountability. And this is tricky because if you're working for yourself or it's kind of like a loose deadline, or if you're a student with the accommodation that's kind of this paradox of extended time where you're like, cool, now my due dates move, but also it's really helpful to not lose points for being late. That can be hard. So sometimes we have to add a little bit of accountability for ourselves. And if you're an employee and you're working and your boss doesn't micromanage, doesn't check in all the times, that's delightful. And then also a little bit tricky, right? Because you're like, oh, well, nobody's going to really check on me until the due date for this thing. So technically I could mess around until like the night before. But again, that creates some problems. So you may want some accountability. What that could look like could be setting small, small deadlines in your calendar where you have your own due dates for parts. It could even be if you have the steps lined out and there's spots throughout your calendar that you want to put some of the steps so that you know, okay, here's my check-in and here's my personal deadline. You can do that. If that's still a little bit too independent where it's like, yeah, but I can break my deadline because nobody's checking on me, you can consider even having somebody check in with you. So oftentimes people will partner up as accountability partners so that they can say, hey, let's check in with each other on Thursday. What's your goal by Thursday? Okay, my goal by Thursday is, and then you can check in with each other and just curiously ask, like, how did it go? What might be helpful next time? That kind of thing. And then the last thing is give yourself reminders to check in while you're doing the thing. So if we're thinking about time management, it's really attention management. We're planning all of these strategies to help us manage our attention and get through with the thing. The last part is to say, hey, how's future me going to stay on track and make sure that we are using these strategies? So what that can look like is maybe setting a timer on your phone or on the computer or device that you're using just every 20 minutes or so, every 30 minutes to just pop up and be like, hey, you on track? That could be having something buzz and not make sound to just kind of like bring you back to focus and check in like, okay, am I doing what I said I would do? That could be even sitting near somebody to body double so that they're also checking in and making sure like, okay, you're on track. I'm hoping that you're gathering that there are tons of options. And what I want to challenge you to do this week is to play around with one or two of these ideas. We're going to take them to the Life Laboratory and just see what we can cook up, see how they go. So again, our strategies this week are planning for attention and managing that precious resource, estimating time, writing out our small steps, planning for accountability, and then giving future self some reminders to check in to see how your attention management is going. Okay, I announced in a couple of episodes ago that we're actually expanding the audience for the Executive Function Podcast because it's not just students who need it, right? I would say maybe a third to a half of the emails I get from people, which by the way, I absolutely read every single one, and most of the time they bring me to tears, and it's just still so unreal that my words are helping people around the world. Like, I won't go on because it will make me cry, but your words truly, truly fill my bucket, people, and I am just so thankful that I get to do what I love and it helps people, and you let me know sometimes. Okay, there's my PSA. A third to about a half of you who write in are using the strategies as adults, which made me realize I could expand and include adult and student examples in the show to be even more helpful. So with that, we're also going to do the Hey Human pep talk instead of Hey Kid, because, you know, we all need a pep talk once in a while. So our very first Hey Human pep talk, here we go. And if you have a small human that you want to hear this, go grab them right now. Hey human, time management, am I right? I imagine if you're listening right now, you've heard that you just need to manage your time or you should not be late. You've probably even looked up ideas to help yourself manage time, and maybe you have some cool tools that work for you. Struggling with time makes sense. Time is technically what we call a social construct. It means that it's just measurements to give a tangible metric, a way of measuring the concept of time. Some brains really have a feel for time, and some people can actually estimate time pretty accurately. And for other brains, time doesn't have a feel. 5 minutes could actually be 25, and sometimes things don't line up in a neat first, second, third order. If you're a human who struggles with time management, this week I want to challenge yourself to think of time management as attention management. Where will you spend your attention? How can you plan ahead to protect your attention? What might steal your attention when you're trying to work? If you're at school, this might mean switching where you work so the space is less distracting. Or at school or at work, it might mean getting all the things you need ready before you start working so you don't have to leave and come back a bunch. The idea is you start working with your brain to see how you can make the most of your attention. And you'll notice that your tasks go much faster and will feel like better time management. P.S. There really isn't actually a connection between being up early or always being on time with your value as a person. You're not bad, you're not rude if you're still figuring out how to get places on time. You're human. So please be kind to yourself as you experiment with strategies this week. Sending you all my love. Hey team, there's lots more magic where this came from. I'm scheduling my school and workplace trainings for the year, and I would love to support you too. Imagine what it would be like to have teachers and coworkers who understand executive function and create executive function empowered environments. I'm also adding more resources on the website so you can deepen your learning and get the tools you need for families and for teachers. I love what I do, and I am so grateful to be able to support you. Head on over to sarahkesty.com for more information. I'll see you there.
Thank you for listening to the Executive Function Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please head over to sarahcasti.com, where you'll find more resources and chances to connect with others. And please remember to like and review the show wherever you listen to this podcast. We're eager to transform the lives of even more families.